Hi, you're listening to Adrienne Barbeau and Quality Time Broadcast.
I'm just going to do it one more time.
Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and matches. Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and matches.
Peter Quill.
Oh gosh.
Well, do you want to tell us what the song was about?
No.
You're just, it's gone now.
Can you sit? Can you hum a few bars?
No.
I can't. I'm so. He's upset right now.
It was funny, and it's fucking gone for all
well,
I know.
Well, that was your magnus opus.
It's
you'll
like,
never top it.
I just don't fucking know the machine well enough, and for all I know, it's here, and I can't fucking access it.
Well, if there's any silver lining to this, when you eventually pass away, someone will find it, and it'll be previously unreleased.
Yeah, like, you know, media. When Prince died, he had albums and albums of unreleased.
Just
and now
vault.
You need to you need to start collecting your catalog of unreleased tracks, Jer.
Mm-hmm.
You dig?
Future generations will look back on it.
And go, oh my God, what is this song about abortions I'd never even heard of?
They'll this be like, this Zoom has data from 2018 on it.
It's like, this was obsolete in 94. You know what? I'm gonna get
is it
Jeremy's
40 minutes of this?
This is the song. What if he's like, yes, I found it, finally.
Oh, the problem was I wasn't letting it play.
No, it's a real slow beat, but it's supposed to start within, like, the first couple seconds.
Did you like when I made this cheese inside of me?
Ew.
Oh, that's 47 seconds.
Oh, that was pretty good.
It was pretty good, but if...
I made cheese inside
of me. Yeah, I mean, you just raised the bar on whatever he's going to play. How could it be as disturbing as that?
My internal cheese.
It starts off...
Vaginal yeast beer! Yay! Let's fucking make a fucking podcast! Fuck yeah!
I'm excited. Jeremy, listen, now... The failure of it not working is not, it's not on you, but it's frustrating.
Yeah,
but
you know? Wasting my time and really having something to share and now have nothing to show for it is really fucking awful.
You know,
the
effort is what really counts more than anything.
Yes, yeah, so tell that to comedians that never make it. So, it's all right.
Yeah.
You're talking to two of them, Jeremy.
Well, thanks. We're literally in the
room. You guys have actual names, so... But you actually work for it, so...
We do have names. And welcome to Quality Time, everybody! Woo! Yay!
Ribbit!
Woo! My name is Eric Woodworth, your hostess with the mostest. And to my right is none other than my blood, my very frustrated brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing, sir?
Just fine. It's me.
You're doing okay?
It's the real me.
Oh,
so I can't have you be bummed out this whole episode, okay? I need Jeremy at his fucking...
Well, I'm going to start drinking right this second.
Yes!
So,
that's the Jeremy we like.
I need it.
We didn't even get somebody else on the show. That's how mad he is. Because usually he comes with a hot voice or a hot take, and we're not even getting that.
Oh, what a rare appearance.
An actual Jeremy Woodworth.
A Raremy Jeremy.
In the mist.
I try to step up my game for Simbazo showing up and completely fail. And just eat
until.
A big heaping bowl of shit tonight, so...
Well...
It's amazing.
I was more impressed that you still trusted a Zune than by anything else you could have done.
Zune.
And that other voice, that ominous presence you hear is none other than to man to my left, Mr. Tommy Simbazo!
Yay! Hey. Hi, I'm waving at you there in internet land.
Hey, Tommy.
My wave is sucking up bandwidth.
We've spent so much time this weekend, it feels weird.
I know.
We just
came
back.
It's like I saw you moments ago.
I know. We've had we went home and took a nap, and now we're back together again almost instantly.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Do you have to share beds when you go out of town together?
We don't don't have to, but
only
we choose
when we
to.
Request
and,
it.
And you choose to spoon. So it was only like a half hour drive there.
What happens in Bahrain stays in Bahrain.
Well, that's funny because like we got a lot of shit because we went overseas. One of the hotels we stayed at, me and Tommy always had to share a room, and we walked in and there was just a giant king bed. And so we just used it and slept. And then they, Rob and Patrick are like, oh, yeah, ours was like that. We just requested a double bed. What are you guys, fags? Like, that's me.
We're like, oh, wait, we didn't care.
No, it was fine. We were good.
So. The only reason you'd make a point that you need separate beds is if you don't think, like, oh, God, I won't be able to resist fucking this other man.
I just love the fact that you do a video of Tommy asleep and do a video of his ass and then do your own fart and blame it on him. So,
like a fart ventriloquist. You're the Jeff Dunham of my asshole.
It was such a good video. I was like, I was filming. I was like, ooh, I got to fart. Watch. I'm going to film him and then I'm going to fart and it's going to look like him.
We were all, and so then good. Last night on stage, we were all farting.
Yeah.
But mine didn't stink.
We were down at the lovely Bright Box Theater in Winchester, Virginia last night, and the last act of the night, I kind of walked over near one of our cast members, Mr. Sean Gabbert, lovely gentleman, and I kind of put my ass right behind, like in the front of his keyboard where he's standing, and I let loose the foulest, most noxious gas out of myself. And like, you know when you fart and you know the second it leaves your body that it's going to be bad?
Yeah,
because
like, it's hot.
It's just so hot. It's just, it literally was touching shit like inches before it left your body. And I just left that thing there. I walked to the other side of the stage and then everybody looked at Sean like, oh my God, Sean.
Well, the worst part was he was farting like that earlier. Yeah, like, yeah. He was just farting. You get a waft, like Sean would fart, and you would smell it. So by pinning a fart on him, it's already, he's like, you can't say he didn't do it.
Did you say keyboard?
Yeah.
So you're actually playing a keyboard during the show?
Well, yeah, during Smooth Criminal. He plays Dr. Keys, and the only thing that he plays is the thing for Billie Jean, which is... Dun, dun, dun,
dun. And he actually has labeled on the keyboard the three keys he needs to push first, then the second set.
What kind of keyboard is it?
It's a Korg. It's a nice Korg keyboard.
Step closer, Korg, into my grasp.
That's a good Thundar reference
there.
Yeah,
you gotta know you're cutting Thundar.
You know what? We'll play Thundar at the end of this episode, so if you stick around to the very end, you're gonna hear Thundar.
Oh, you guys have a Thundar outro?
Oh, we got a Thundar outro for this episode.
Yeah, I had a really funny song to play tonight. But I don't.
Prove it.
So, also, another crazy thing that happened yesterday. One of the things I like to do, especially when we're going on a road trip like last night, we stayed in a hotel, is I like to buy a nice bottle of booze to have in the green room so you can throw back a couple shots, have
Cole
a good time.
Cole 45 or Schlitz?
No, I bought a good bottle of Four Roses whiskey, which is a single cask whiskey. It's really nice. It's a, you know.
Well, that's one up from Thunderbird.
It's... No, it's Four Roses, not Wild Rose. Oh, you're wild thinking rose. Of Wild Irish Rose, I'm sure. No, this is Four Roses. I think it's Four Rose or Four Roses Irish or Four Roses bourbon. And
now,
it is
now
a
roses,
very...
that, is that spelled R-O-W-S?
Roses.
Roses.
Roses. And it's a very good bourbon. I've had it before. So Joe dropped us at the hotel. We kind of checked in. He took the rest of the stuff up, and he calls me about 2 hours before the show. He's like, Eric, you're not going to fucking believe this. Your bag is completely fucking soaked. There's shit dripping out. What do you got in here? He opens it up. I was like, here's a bottle of whiskey. The bottle of whiskey has busted inside
nice.
The bag. All of the clothes I'm supposed to wear for the show completely soaked with an entire bottle of whiskey now. So, I washed them all. They were in pristine condition. And so I get there, and we use Tommy's hair dryer because for his mustache hair dryer. And I dry out these fucking sopping wet clothes that I have to wear on stage, and it's fine. Like, I'm putting it on, I'm like, all right, it smells like bourbon, but at least it's dry.
Yeah, and it didn't smell bad, but it just smelled like bourbon.
Yeah, the problem was is when you're out there under the hot lights on the first act, I gotta wear these for two shows. After the first act, the sweat had reactivated all of the bourbon in there. So, like, I felt like it was just seeping into every pore of me. Anywhere I walked around, nobody would believe that I'm not hammered right now. They're like, oh, my God, he smells like just walking fucking whiskey.
He smells like that uncle that they won't leave me alone with.
The one that always takes me to the bathroom.
So that was my fun story of the night.
Can I ask the important
whiskey clothes?
Can I ask an important question? Is Tommy's hair dryer, how steampunk is it for just his mustache?
Yes, so.
It's just
actually
a black mustache. I want to.
It's actually like a gun handle with like a giant 20-inch fan and then actual like fire behind it.
It looks like something off Ratchet and Clank.
Yes.
Why is it so huge? It's just for his mustache.
It's actually a whole backpack.
It's
unpacks.
Like if you ever see the old salons where the woman sits in the thing, it's one of those, but it only goes over my mustache.
And it also doubles as a real weapon, and it will kill you. Watch which setting you put it on. Don't put it on death setting.
No, set it to stun.
Oh, so good, so good. So yeah, that was our fun little weekend yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had a great time. Played some fun games.
We played Quiplash.
Yeah.
We won't get into it.
We can't talk about it. Not even, it's a secret game of Quiplash that we played that is, if you've never played it, great game, everyone.
Part of the Jackbox.
But let's just say,
Jackpack.
We tested our friendships last night.
Yeah.
Everyone's friendship got tested.
Because they give you a question, and then the room full of people, you all log into your server on your phones. So then two of the people in the room, they get the same question, and they have to type in a response, and then you go through everybody's questions, and then you have to choose their responses. But with the group of us that know so much about each other, and all of us being comedians, it got dark.
It got really bad.
Shit. And the darker it was, the more just tears of laughter coming down, laughing at other people's misery.
But we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. It was good times, and with good friends and good people. So. I don't know. You guys got anything else before we get into it? Are you guys ready for tonight's episode?
I am so fucking ready for this.
I'm ready to fucking turn up.
I'm about to do my final shoot for the Killer Clown versus the Candyman this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Now, have you done all of your homoerotic scenes, or do you have more
to
do?
Yes, thank God. Thank God.
So you don't have to be gay on camera anymore?
No. Well, it's... I think well, it's...
It
I
doesn't
think,
have to be. It's a perk.
Well, frankly...
It's in his rider.
Frankly, the scene I'm doing this weekend is worse, because I'm doing pogo in front of a bunch of real kids.
Ooh, okay.
And what are your lines?
Well, I'm doing
do you
like
cross them.
No, I don't say anything dirty in front of them, but it's still just more uncomfortable.
Yeah,
just doing that.
Yeah.
Although, well, that is me caressing any man's naked chest is the most disturbing thing I do to myself, which I hate doing now. So,
caressing men's chests,
yeah,
naked men's chests, or just like Jeff Goldblumy.
Well, these are practically boys. So
what's your?
They're just barely 18.
What's your Mount Rushmore of stroking men's chests? Like, if you could choose,
yeah, whose chest? Like Arnold's got to be up there. Like
you
early
get
Arnold?
You get your dream like cast of you get to pogo caress any celebrities, time, space, it doesn't matter who it is, but who's your Mount Rushmore?
I think the fat guy from Toxic Avenger, Mayor Belgoody.
Okay. So you're not looking to enjoy this experience.
No, he had amazingly big breasts.
Oh.
I mean, that's the same as a woman. I mean, well, that's pretty great.
You want it to be like a woman's chest. Bitch Tits Bob from Fight Club.
Exactly. But that's not a real person. That was a fake... You know,
His name was Robert Paulson.
Yeah, exactly.
In death, he has a name.
So, yeah.
Okay, so you go with that guy.
I actually would like to touch Robin Williams' chest because that's like, you know, touching like an ape.
No, yeah, it's like touching a skeleton.
And I'm sure while he was still hanging there, I could have gone to town.
You could have played him like a xylophone. It's like...
Yeah. Take this, Garp!
Ooh, look at this guy. He's playing my ribs like a xylophone.
Oh, you guys want to hear my Robin Williams impression?
I can touch you all I want now, Mark.
I got a pretty spot on Robin Williams' impression. Right,
here we go.
That was my favorite scene from Good Will Hunting. So.
They all stand on the desks and hang themselves from the ceiling.
We don't need no education.
Put my dick away.
Ooh, my dick, it's out everywhere. I don't like it.
What's that guy's name again? The one next to Ben Affleck, Damon.
Matt Damon.
I just wish every movie would end with him hanging, no matter what the plot is.
Oh, so. Nice. Yeah.
He's become my favorite comedic cameo actor. Yeah.
He is fun to see in like a cameo role, as like a little small part. Like oh, he was in. Was
I
nice.
Saw Euro Trip the other day, and he's in Euro Trip.
Yeah, he's the. He's Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me.
Is Tom Green in that?
No.
No.
You're thinking Road Trip.
Yeah.
This is Euro Trip.
This is a completely different movie. Oh. Totally different cast.
Now, which of the Griswolds are in that? Do they have like the different kids or the same kids first movie?
No.
Okay. Yes.
It only has Beverly D'Angelo.
Yes. Beverly loves the D. Angelo.
remember the Angelo name came up last night. Oh, yeah. My favorite Ninja Turtle.
My favorite turtle is Rasputin. So.
Rasputin.
He can't die. You know.
He's my favorite is Maya Angelou.
Oh, I just love some pizza.
Mm, yeah. Cowabunga, dudes.
Rasputin.
Maya Angelou is a poet, dude. Happy name, Ninja Turtles. Oh, man. You listen, when you tuned in, you didn't think you were going to get that hot Maya Angelou content when you started the episode, but you're getting it here from Quality Time.
That's right, you Angelou heads.
Angelou heads. Okay, well, without further ado, tonight is the night where we go over the 1988 classic, cult classic.
Mm-hmm. Max Road Warrior, Max Fury.
Max Fury, hell comes to Frogtown.
Woo!
Yes. Which has a pretty cool intro when it comes in. It's pretty badass. Like, has this 1960s TV kind of feel intro. Mm-hmm. Like, very Land of the Losty.
Yeah, there were a lot of scenes in here reminded me of old, like, 60s Star Trek episodes and stuff.
Yeah, except there's more titties, so.
And looking this up, I found there is a sequel.
Yeah.
There was a sequel in 1992 called Frogtown 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, does it have Roddy Piper?
No. I have no idea. I didn't watch it.
Please tell me it was called Frogtown the Quickening.
Electric Frogaloo. Secret of the Ooze is what Frogtown 2 is.
Hell comes to Washington, where they're also frogs.
Frogtown 2. Debbie does Frogtown.
So, here's the intro that is very Mad Max-like that sets the stage of now this post-apocalyptic world where Frogtown exists.
In the latter days of the 20th century, there arose a difference of opinion. The leading experts at the time believed a nuclear war would only involve the exchange of a few bombs, and then the suitably horrified combatants would sit down at the peace table. They were wrong. In just 10 days, 10,000 years of human progress was virtually blown to dust.
Why does this remind me so much of...
10 years later, they tried again.
Why does this remind me so much of Strange Brew with...
Chris Elliott?
No, with the brothers...
Yeah, the McKenzie brothers.
The McKenzie. Hey, look.
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Hey, look, it's the Statue of Liberty.
Hey, Hoser. Why did it only take 20 years for there to be mutants, eh? It's not a very long time.
There was nowhere to get beer anywhere.
But that's crazy. So in this movie, this happened 20 years after.
Yeah.
This movie takes place 20 years after the first nuclear bomb hit.
It drops, then 20 years later, you got fucking frog people.
Yeah.
That's the world that you're dropped into. And if I could give you an overview, apparently the world now, people can't have children. And so there's only a select few that are fertile. Dare I say...
It's reverse Handmaid's Tale,
This is the original Handmaid's Tale stole from this movie.
Handmaid's
Children
Tale
of God?
Like, let's switch it.
Yeah.
Fury Road,
Fury all Road. Of this. This comes from Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Can I give the real intro to Hell Comes to Frogtown?
Yeah, absolutely. Jeremy, go and hit us off with the hotness.
Future tribes came to war against each other. Nuclear bombs went off. Who's gonna save us but Rowdy Roddy Piper and his super sperm? Who's gonna help save humanity and make us repopulate the Earth with a single wrestler who will have sex with anyone, anytime? That's when we met the man called Sam Hell.
That's good. That was a good hot take, Jeremy.
I like it.
I think I could have done
good
that.
Good hot take.
You're hired for the remake.
Sam Hell. So the movie opens up after the opening credits, and we see a dark room where Sam Hell, a.k.a. Roddy Piper, is tied up to a chair, getting worked over pretty bad by Captain Devlin.
And what was his crime?
For raping a woman.
Yeah.
He's a he's an accused rapist.
Our hero is a rapist.
We start with a baseline of this rapist who's being... We're like, oh, well, I can really empathize with this guy already.
Okay. I'm listening.
Well, it's the wasteland, of course.
Well,
that's
another wrestler taken down.
Yeah. So two nurse cops come in from med tech. And they're nurse cops, okay? And they present their badges and inform Captain Devlin that although he's been charged with rape, the girl is now with child and has changed her mind.
Yeah, she recanted her story, so it's just sexual assault.
It's just good old-fashioned sexual assault. You know he walks.
You know you want it.
So, they actually point to him and says, watch out, he's got a loaded weapon right there, and point at his dick. It's just, that's the world that we're in right now. So, back at the med tech lab, there's all types of propaganda signs. I like the one that said, no condoms with like a giant like Ghostbusters, don't do them. The future is in your hands, which I thought was funny. The med tech lady she's a real sassy black woman. Mm-hmm. Just like, let me tell you, I didn't get this high paying government job by fucking around. So the med tech lady says that he has left a string of pregnancies everywhere he's gone.
He's like the Johnny Dickens seed of the post-apocalyptic world.
Yes, he's just impregnating women everywhere he goes.
And she actually says that he has the highest spermazoan count that they have ever tested.
Yes. And they force him to sign over a contract, either go to jail or sign this contract to work for med tech to help repopulate it.
Now, I have some stats. It says that the actual population of the world was reduced by 68%.
Ooh.
So, and they're all mostly sterile.
Mostly sterile, except for the fucking very virile Mr. Roddy Piper.
Did you read the trivia as to who was possible to be Roddy Piper in this part?
Hulk Hogan?
Number one, Tim Thomerson, otherwise known as Dollman. Second choice?
Robert Zadar?
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern! You know, if this movie had like a Wonder Years take, it would have been a lot better.
An apocalyptic Wonder Year. Yeah. What would you do if no one could spooge?
Would you let me go over and rape you?
Let's go to Frogtown. They're a bunch of frogs. How are they going to fight us?
Then there was the time I was accused of rape.
Lend me your puss and I'll give you a load. I will try to make another baby.
Watch me now.
Really, I think Daniel Stern would make a good rapist, though.
He's got rape qualities about him.
I think he'd be even a good necrophile.
He still could have kept the title of Soggy Bandit.
Yes. Yes. or the Sticky Bandit.
Why
bandits.
Are you getting wet? Because I'm thinking of raping.
So, next... we see that Roddy has signed over his life away to the MedTech government of the interim government there, and he has his own special pair of metal underwear on that's a property, official government property now. Mm-hmm. So now his cock belongs to the state.
Yeah.
It's not community property.
Nope, not community. Nope. There's a flap, though. There's a flap so that he can go pee and fuck, but there are...
That's it.
That's it. Other than that, they
gotta
got
go
unlocked.
Water the roses.
So we then hear a newscast in the background that says a group of greeners killed 200 killed 210 people on the news, and that there's weapons cached now in Frogtown. Mm-hmm. So now those fucking greeners now have all the weapons.
Whoa. Please. Now you can't use a hard R on the end of that.
This is not the most problematic idea in this show, in this movie. Trust me when
you
I
have
say
to say greeners.
So next we see Nurse Spangle heads out.
Why was this
thing
not a porn? All of this so far is porn.
It is. It's not. When you watch it, I feel like there should be 10 times more titties and constantly break
like,
off
any
into
minute
soft
now,
core.
I'm going to finally get to see Roddy's Piper.
Nurse Spangle heads out to the pink Studebaker that they have outfitted out there, which has a giant mounted machine gun turret on top, manned, or should I say womaned, by the very lovely Sentinella, which sounds like a very nice candle you could buy.
She's the
I don't...
Vasquez of all of this.
Yeah, well, she's a little bit hotter than Vasquez. But she is supposed to be the badass.
Oh,
right?
She'd never be mistaken for a man.
Uh-uh. Wait, we do get to see her breasts, though, right?
Yeah, we do. But hey, whoa, no.
Oh,
don't,
sorry.
No,
I'm
don't,
sorry.
No. Don't spoil it for everybody.
Sorry, ooh. I prematurely ejaculated that information. Ooh.
No, honestly, she's the hottest woman in this whole like movie, to me.
Oh, she's...
Well, okay. Well, let's put a pin in that, because I disagree.
Okay, fair enough.
Look, I think she was could have been the hottest backup dancer for like Robert Palmer video.
Oh yeah, yeah. So. She could have like been pretending to play a guitar and swing in the background.
Be square
with a black cocktail dress.
That's a Joe Robinson correction waiting to happen. That's a Joe.
Does
Robinson.
Anybody watch that Robert Palmer video and just think a lot of chafing went on?
Possibly.
A lot
yeah.
of chafing.
So. They head into the wasteland in their giant pink Studebaker, and they get to the provincial government's border station 1444. And there's guys sleeping on the job with little patches that say Frog Stomper, which I'm sure is pretty racist for the time. They're clearly very racist individuals against these people.
Did you jump past the overnight thing where he goes to water the roses?
Nope, not yet.
All
that's
right.
coming up. That's coming
I must
up.
Have missed
now
all
the
that.
Now we see that it's also the guy who works at the edge of the border is the same dickhead, Captain Devlin, again, and they had to deal with him again. But old what's her face? What the fuck is her name?
Sandal Bergman.
It's the
the character name?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Devlin?
Her name. No, the lady, the blonde haired lady. Spangle. I keep thinking Spangler from Ghostbusters.
I think Spangle, like her name was going to be Star Spangle.
Spangle. So Spangle lays down the law and says, we're going through one way or another. And then fucking Sentinella fucking points the machine gun at him. They're like, let him through.
Yeah. All right.
And you realize that this is a very much a Conan movie, a very much a Milius movie. Because between William Smith and Sandal Bergman, you have Conan's dad and Conan's girlfriend.
Well, Sandal Bergman, yes, who plays Spangle, is from Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer, Red Sonja. She plays the queen in Red Sonja.
Oh.
Does she?
Yeah. I only know because I looked up her IMDb beforehand. Yeah. So, very big names. Very big names.
I IMDb'd one female actress in this movie.
Okay.
And we'll get to her in a bit.
Okay. I'm ready. So after they speed off past the border, we get to hear this. Just to give you a taste of some of the interactions we get between our characters, there is this.
Hey, ladies, you just about got my ass shot off. Now we're going into hostile mutant territory at full throttle. Damn, I hope you know what you're doing. I hate to think you just lost.
We're going to Frogtown. Their leader, Commander Toady, has kidnapped some pilgrims who wandered into their territory.
And what's that to MedTech?
They are fertile women.
Why would mutants want to kidnap mutants. Human females?
Mutants.
Toady knows how valuable fertiles are to MedTech.
Or maybe he wants them for his harem.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And we're going to do something about it. We're going to get
mutant humans.
You're going to get them humans.
Beautiful, okay, there, beautiful okay, yeah. scene.
I love the fact that Roddy still had his wonderful 80s hair in this movie. So.
Oh, it's so glorious and flowing. He looks like He-Man, but very Canadian. What do they want with all these mutants, huh?
His outfit looks like he's just missing a kilt. It's like they just swapped out a kilt for like a post-apocalyptic war jacket.
They're like, we're going to make you look a little bit more like Eddie Vedder, but...
Jeremy spoke in class today.
So they stop to fuel up, and Sam asks if he can go water the flowers.
Yeah, I gotta go water the roses. And is he from Minnesota?
No, he's from Canada. He's a Canadian, okay. And then they gave him a Scottish gimmick to run. So this Canadian man pretended to be a Scotsman, has no Scottish accent at all. But that's what the beautiful thing about wrestling.
Doesn't matter
at all, because that motherfucker could cut a promo. So he gets about like 50 yards away, and then he starts hightailing it real fast, going yeah, and laughing.
I'm gonna be right behind those bushes over there.
And all of a sudden, she clicks, Spangle clicks one of her earrings, mm-hmm. and it drops Roddy to the ground as he's writhing in pain and grabbing at his dick area.
Just getting shocked in the cock.
Yeah, and she explains to him, she's like, oh, I see you felt the stinger. Turn it off!
Yeah.
And he turns it off, and she turns it off and then tells him, yeah, I can put that on anytime I want. And if you go too far... and you're away for too long, that C4 in there will blow up everything.
It's like 4 ounces of C4.
Yeah, so he's just like, we're just going to blow your dick off if you try to ever leave. So
if you try to fuck anything that we don't tell you to fuck. And it has a GPS, so they can track him.
Which really isn't much of a GPS. It's more of just like a beep system. Yeah. Like as you get close, like beep, beep.
Just listen.
Beep, beep, beep. Oh, listen to us. My cock is showing me where to go here, all right?
Okay, lady.
I got to go find this bitch with the earrings before my cock explodes.
Turn it off.
So they make camp for the night, mm-hmm. and Roddy is getting eyeball fucked by the very lovely Sentinella,
mm-hmm.
who is cleaning her gun.
Euphemism.
Spangle then comes out trying to look sexy as fuck in her army fatigue bra and panties.
Yeah, so, French cut too. You could see pelvic bone.
Oh man, she looked like she was ready to be in a Whitesnake video like 20 minutes after this scene.
Okay, hold on. I have written down French cut camo and lace panties.
Yeah.
And she seduces him, and when he takes the bait... she fucking zaps his fucking dick again because they have to keep him aroused to increase potency.
Well, yes, here I actually have the clip. So she gets him all fucking worked up and hot, and she's like, are you sure you don't want it? And he's like, okay. And he goes back over. He's like, come over here, and starts making out with her. And then this happens. She hits him with the stinger.
Hey, you know, you look terrific in this light. See you in the morning.
Boom!
Oh, suck it, lady.
But she doesn't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm. You know, the women of the wasteland are very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought a man of your reputation might still be hungry.
She slips off her shirt.
Mm-hmm. Still broad, though. Still broad.
Still big-ass
sure?
Charles Nelson Reilly glasses on, too.
No, you sure you don't want this pussy?
Ooh.
I guess.
Okay.
Well, maybe not.
Grabs her, starts making out, and then...
I'm sorry,
did someone teach you, or are you just a tease by nature?
I was just following orders.
Orders?
Regulation 12, keep the subject in an excited state. It promotes potency.
Oh, potency.
He has to be hard.
I'm just doing my job.
Good. Well, when we get back, I'll have him give you a raise.
Oh!
Boom.
Oh, got her good.
Oh, he is giving her such a bad review on Angie's List. So, he gets back.
Kind of sucks to be just walking around being constantly potent. Mm-hmm. Now, later in the night, Sentinel makes her move on old Sam Hell, and she gets all naked and then hops in the fucking sack with her.
And these are the only breasts we see in this movie, right?
I believe so. I think these are the only titties that we get to see, and they're pretty nice. This is pretty nice track.
She's
got a solid C.
Very fit woman.
Yeah, she can do a lot of pull-ups.
Very tan.
I can tell. Yeah, yeah. She's got a lot of short hair, like slicked back. Yeah, yeah, looking good.
A lot of this movie is very empowering women.
Yeah, until what we're about to see in a minute.
Okay.
But, so, she explains that she's not fertile, and this is against regulation, but she's just heard the rumors, and she needed that D.
Yeah, apparently the rumor is this guy slings cock.
Yeah.
This guy's just throwing loads around,
Yeah, so
be Rowdy Roddy Piper.
But then fucking good old Spangle comes over to ruin the fun, comes over and is holding her earring like this and looks at Sentinel and just goes, "You're out of your uniform, Corporal." She's like, "Oh, shucks. Don't get any weird savage dick tonight."
Everybody wants to fuck Roddy Piper in this movie.
Yes, everybody.
Could you imagine if it was Daniel Stern in this role? We would have to believe that everyone is craving Daniel Stern's dick.
Oh, man. That would be so... It's a completely different movie with Daniel Stern. Like, every scene, he's like, "I didn't know what I was doing at the moment right then. But I knew my life was going to change forever."
Winnie! I probably want to say that this is probably the best 12 to 14 year old screenplay ever written.
Yeah.
So. Women want to have sex with. He has to repopulate. They're throwing themselves.
I don't know. Aragon's a pretty strong contender.
They end up driving into the next day and night, and Sam doesn't like the plan that they've laid out.
Did you miss the part
to get
where
into
he says
town?
They must have. Okay, yeah. They tell him the plan.
Yeah,
and then he's like, "You must have moons for balls."
Yes, moons for balls, lady. So. He goes, he says, "I think we should renegotiate." She goes, "It's all in the contract." And he takes the contract and throws it out the window. And then they let him out. And then he's like, "Ha ha, sweet." But then as they're driving off, he goes, "Oh no, here's the beep of the bomb that's going to explode." So he has to now fucking hightail it and jog behind them to catch up.
See if you can find the clip of what he says. Because as they're driving away.
I think I can get it. It's right here.
It's right. Yo, you found it. God. They're driving away. The proximity alarm's going off.
Aww. Aww.
Got him again. Man, that Roddy Piper. What a great actor. So,
is there a part in this movie where he has to force her to put on like sunglasses or something to see something?
Yeah, that's coming up.
Fight scene.
It's coming up. Right. He makes it back to camp very exhausted, but they pick up some motion on the scanner.
Mm-hmm.
They hop in the car to go check out what this motion is that's running, and they find out it's a young girl that they're chasing.
Not just a young girl. They run down a desert hobo woman and tie her up.
So, they tie her up, bring her back to camp, and they do a little test and find out that she is fertile.
So how's Roddy going to fuck his way out of this situation?
So, Roddy starts to try to be nice to her. He's like, "Here you go, lady. Go ahead and have some food right here." Yeah. And she spits it back into his face, and he's like, "Well, that didn't work, okay?"
What if that's how he's fucked all these women, is by feeding them soup?
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, I'm out of ideas."
No, everybody likes Roddy's soup. That's what gets you. That's what gets you hot and wet and ready for the fucking. Spangle then comes over and hits her with a fucking needle sedative, and then
it was called Ovidol.
Tells him to get ready for work.
Mm-hmm.
I so wish that they had called the girl in the desert Newt. So.
Yeah.
So they drug her and with Ovidol, which makes her ovulate, and then it sedates her and puts her in in a super horny state because she's just she's on the ground just writhing.
I'm so wet over here now. I know I spit in your face before, but this Cosby barbecue sauce you fed into me making me howling.
It's the overdog. This is getting in the door.
I mean, in 2018, we're 20 years removed from this movie.
Cosbyan that they have to feed her. So
this is the Cosbyan future that Bill had always dreamed of. It's just like, oh yes, I'm the last forever man, and I give them a little Spanish fly.
The upside is that they will drug the women. The downside is that they're a frog people.
Have you ever throat fucked a frog before with their big bulbous necks? So, yeah, I mean, this is pretty intense that they drug a woman to fucking make Roddy have sex
and
with her.
And then when Roddy tells him, he's like, oh, she's not my type.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't want to take advantage of this drugged, filthy hobo woman.
But this med tech lady is forcing him to do what he's got to do. And she tells him they need to procreate with this passed out girl. But he argues that he's not a machine, so Spangle then strips for him in all her 80s slender figure again to get him worked up.
Roddy told her, he said, the line was, he said, she's not my type. Mm-hmm. And she was like, not your type. And he said, you'll try to make love to a complete stranger in the middle of a hostile mutant environment and see how you like it.
Hostile mutant environment.
Tommy, thank you for doing the Roddy Piper impersonations tonight. So,
can you just say the word mutant?
Mutant.
I remember distinctly watching this with my cousin back in probably 88 when it came out first on cable. And my cousin and I, we saw this scene where she tries to seduce him and she says, I was trained in the arts of seduction, and we just laughed our asses off. That's a fucking funny line in the fucking movie.
I actually wrote down that I clearly remember jerking off to this scene as a kid. I was like, oh, yes, you did.
Did anybody know the commentary by John Milius on Conan, why she was chosen for the Amazon?
Mm-mm.
Is because he had watched all that jazz where she was dancing naked in the scenes with Roy Scheider in all that jazz.
Rob Schneider?
No, Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider.
The carrot,
all that jazz,
Rob Schneider.
So, derp.
I gotta take some more pills today and then be a gigolo. So, yeah, I never knew he was Rob Schneider's son. So
Roddy gets her a little bit pissed off because he's not finding her seduction to be very seducing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, but then he feels bad. He's like, oh, I hurt her feelings. I guess I gotta fuck this passed out woman for her.
Well, no,
you know, yeah, the things you do for love.
If you read his face, he's not into it at all, but he's still watching it. She just, what did I write down? He's clearly a leg man because all she's doing is just rubbing her thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear a clunk, which is the flap going open. So, what did I write down? I said he's clearly must be, he's a leg man. And if you could look up his Google search history, I'm 100% certain that there's he has searched for the term librarian feet.
I just love the fact that he's having sex with her, but he's looking at what's
yeah,
her
he's
name,
just like
so.
He's like, you know, I don't want to do this. All right,
his eye, part where he's like, she hasn't even brushed her teeth.
which throws out the whole idea that he was actually a rapist.
Yes, he's clearly a kind lover. You know,
or he's way into oral hygiene,
or he's a face and no longer a heel. Currently, you know, they flipped the script.
Before I rape you, I have to make sure you brush your teeth.
Don't forget the floss.
Oh, let me tell you, when I was over down there in the other wasteland with your Lord Humongous, let me tell you that those guys are trying to rape everything out there.
I tell you what, though, he told me to walk away, and I did.
I went,
didn't want any trouble.
So, the next morning, the two are curled up. It's another satisfied customer. And also, she's all cleaned up, so he cleaned
Tommy,
her, too.
Tommy, can you do the famous line from Road Warrior as Roddy Piper?
Which one? The
2 days ago, I saw a rig that would hold that tanker.
Dude,
you want to get out of here? Talk to me!
Oh, man.
I won't be able to do it the justice you just did.
I think you could have done it better, but
well,
I just...
Well, see, now I also wrote down, because all this time, in the background of some scenes and stuff, you see a gas mask-faced person
that
you assume is a...
Is a greener.
Well, I wasn't going to say the word.
It's a G-word.
I was going to say reptilian American. But so he fucked that hobo woman while this greener watched.
Yeah, got the free show.
Super hot.
Oh, God. God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
So, she ends up kissing Sam and saying thank you. And
to which he goes,
and then Prangle explains.
Spangle
explains how to get back to medtech.
Pringle
explains how she could get back to medtech because mothers are treated like queens back home. So they head to the outskirts of Frogtown via car, where Spangle gets all slutted up for the next phase of their plan.
Some light
where
she, BDSM.
Yeah, she poses as Sam's sex slave, has her on a leash and everything. Oh, and it's just a fun back and forth. I'm like, well, it looks like the tables have turned a little bit now, lady. One time I was the slave, now look at you. So he ends up kind of dragging her a little bit, and then she puts her fingers on the thing and like, don't forget I still have these.
Why would you let your slave wear earrings like that?
Yes. So they head into town, and Spangle says, we need to trust each other. Our lives depend on it. And Sam then stops and then gives her a fucking makeover, which is, the makeover includes two things. He takes off her glasses and he's like, oh, you're pretty hot. And then just kind of fluffs up her hair a little bit, and you're like, oh, she's perfect now.
Yeah, they did. Thank you. They did the 80s teen movie makeover where they just take off the glasses and let down the hair a little bit.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, you're a real woman.
Yes.
Oh, you're not that bad looking there.
Hey, you looked like a real Dorcas before, but now you look like a fucking fuck whore. I like it. Just,
you used to look like George the Animal Steel.
So they
Can I tell you a story about when I used to sell plants for a living?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm sure it relates.
This is 100%. This is 100% true story, and it happened more than 20 years ago. So I think maybe the guy that I actually talked to is dead now.
Cool. Okay, good.
Or at least retired.
I told you it was related. The guy was a greener.
I go to the real carpet land, which is right here on route, right around Golden Ring. Where they sell carpets, obviously. So I go in there, and my whole spiel was to bring in a plant and to show it, and you know, they buy plants, obviously. And I swear, this guy must have been from New York, because he was definitely not from Baltimore because of his accent. And it's like, big fat guy, and he was obviously the manager. He's like, hey, Tony, come here and take a look at these plants. Which do you think the bitches are like? And I was like, oh my God, this guy's real. This guy, he wants a second to what bitches will like. So.
Jerry in the back of the night, oh, Woodworth, you got to make a sale today. You got to sell these guys on the bitch appeal.
Bitches love these plants.
It's like, I've only seen these kind of people in movies. These are real people. So.
It's like, hey, oh, he's sucking marinara off his fingers. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, would you got here some plants? These are pizza plants, sir. Hey, oh, pizza plants.
So I bought like 5 minks for like 10 bucks.
Nice.
And I don't know. I'm just kidding.
So they make their way into town, which looks like a giant oil refinery.
Yeah,
it
looks like the one from Fury Road. The
yeah,
one that they
very
were
similar.
The guzzoline.
Yeah, the guzzoline town.
Uh-huh.
Fuck yeah. So they go to the local bar, which is complete with a frog person stripper.
Well, hold on, because it does a good reveal. It's a slow pan up to a sexy dancer to show her frog Carol Channing face. It's a classic Tex Avery bit.
So, now, is this who you're saying is the hottest person in the movie?
Well, yes. Yes. Because I was looking at it, I was like, I wonder who played this frog woman. And I Googled it, and I looked it up. It was Christy Sommers.
Okay, I'm looking up.
Look up Christy Sommers, because she is hot as shit. And she was in a bunch of stuff. She was in Hard Bodies. She was in the...
Christy Holmers?
Christy
Girls
Somers.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
K-R-I-S-T-I-S-O-M-E-R-S. Super hot. She was also in this, ran for one season, this, it was a science fiction series in the 80s called Otherworld.
Oh, she
Full House.
Yeah, she is pretty hot.
So they took My Two Dads and made her look gross as shit.
Ooh, yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Okay, Christy.
Yeah.
Oh, she does kind of look, has that frog-like features. I understand why they looked at her. And
she came
like,
in to read and they're like, no need to even say a word. You got the role. You are hideous.
I've never seen
a more...
Wow,
she was even in Tomboy.
I've never seen a more natural frog-like featured woman until he walked in this
she
place.
She came in, ate a bowl of flies, and nailed the audition.
Oh, yeah. So... the place is crawling with the frog people. One of them is reading the Frog Prince, which I'm like, that's okay. I mean, I understand that they're frog people, but like, this is horror. Like, this is very derogatory to all frog people that they were just sitting there reading the Frog Prince. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, you would think that what's it? The waiting room at like the frog dentist?
Yeah,
or something?
They're playing Battletoads
frog
in the corner.
Highlights.
Frogger in the corner. They only have frog video games.
I wrote this dumb bit down that when I watched it. I said, what do frogs eat? Flies. What part of your genes does your dick come out? The fly.
Ooh.
Coincidence? I think so.
So, Sam gets a drink and then spits it out. Tastes like industrial waste.
Oh, there was also my favorite character in this movie. Is there's a guy wearing a motorcycle helmet with a pork pie newsy hat on top of it, and he's working a hand crank generator so that music will go. That's how you know it's supposed to apocalypse.
Yeah, I like it. Everything can be powered by recumbent bike. That's what I like. So he sits at the bar and he says, you hear a voice that says, you never could hold your liquor. And he goes, oh, Looney Louie. Oh, my gosh.
He's credited in the credits as Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes.
Did anybody recognize this actor?
No, but I'm sure Jeremy's going to.
I wrote down Skinny Sam Elliott.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure that if they could have gotten Sam, even though he wasn't probably just as big this time, but this is a classic, really good horror movie actor from Motel Hell as the lead. So if you ever seen Motel Hell, that is the shit. So
okay, Motel Hell. Got it.
So his character is named Lonnie O'Toole. Used to be in the war with Sam Hell.
Yeah.
And he actually thought he had died. He thought a mine collapsed on him. And mm-hmm. He was like, you know I got 9 lives. This man has the cleanest fucking teeth in this movie,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Pearliest of whites.
Mm-hmm. It's the bridge. Makes it look good. So, Sam says that he's there for trade. And he says, well, if you want to trade, you got to talk to Leroy first. And he goes to go set up a meeting with Leroy. The stripper frog comes up to Spangle and says, I love you, which is code word, which means mm-hmm. that she works in the harem and that she's an inside splinter cell, if
yes.
you will.
Arabella is the character.
General Commander Toadie's harem. So,
which every time they kept saying Toadie, I just kept hearing Possum Kingdom. Like,
wake up your mind.
Did you do this on purpose?
What?
The guy who meets him at the bar, who what other movie was he in?
You said Hotel Hell, right?
Hotel Hell.
He was the lead in the House on Haunted Hill.
Oh, was he?
He was the lead good guy character. Rory Calhoun.
That's the same guy. Oh, he plays Lance? Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
When you called and asked me if I wanted to watch They Live, and I said I'd rather watch Sam, Hell Comes the Frog Down.
Man, I mean, this is a who's who's cast now.
This is one of those.
He got real skinny later in life, but his face was all full back in the 50s. So. Mm.
It's all that smoking.
This is the Ocean's 8 of... 80s shitty sci-fi.
So Leroy is very tickled by the fact that he's Sam is coming over to try this horrible turtle soup, and then in turn gives him a beer, and he's just like, oh, Jeez, that's real beer. So Leroy and Looney give him some info on Bull and Commander Toady.
Which of all these guys, if you look around, there were clearly different levels of mutation that happened.
Yeah.
There are at least three full-on frog motherfuckers.
Yeah, just straight-up frog face, like legit frog, yeah. Giant frog mask.
But people legs. Because if you look later, they only did special effects from the waist up and just gave him slack.
Oh, I guess we didn't mention Leroy is a giant frog, talking frog head person. But he's very eloquent. He's like, yes, I am the giant frog man.
is the Lando Calrissian of Frogtown. but then you have Arabella, who it's just her face and hands.
Yeah.
She's sort of froggish.
Yeah, she's like mid-frog.
Then you just have other people, like the guards, which there's only, in the credits, there was only 16 guards or something, like 9 guards. But they just have, like, the faces done up, wearing turbans and whatnot.
Oh, by the way, I was completely wrong. But he looked exactly like him. So.
Okay, thanks, Jeremy. Thank you for that.
I wanted to get it before
you know what, Joe,
before Joe Robinson
Joe,
got it.
There's no way Joe would have called you on
He wouldn't have. He would not have called us on that
And then
one.
You'd have been like, I got one past Joe.
Yeah.
I swear, actors looked a hell of a lot like each other in the 50s, you know? Yeah. Even the white guys.
Well, what you just said is very problematic, Jeremy Woodworth.
Why don't you just call them greeners and get it over with, Jeremy?
Whiters.
He gives them the skinny on Bull and Toady, and then all of a sudden, Bull shows up, and let me just tell you, I don't know, let's listen to the audio.
Do you have that?
Yeah, I have Bull's entrance here, and his voice trips me out so fucking hard.
Bull. Who brought this here?
Oh, Mufasa.
I did. What's it to you? Where are you from, stranger?
Nowhere nice.
Got a name?
Hell. Sam Hell.
Never heard of you. She yours?
Bartered to Leroy.
Private barter.
Well, yes, Bull.
Shuts your hole! No private barters allowed in Frogtown! Shut your hole!
He could legitimately be I know we lost Odorous Urungus, the lead singer of Gwar, but this guy could be the new Odorous.
Are we sure that this really wasn't Lou Gossett Jr. as the character? So.
Yes, he had just finished Iron Eagle 2, and he went to go to play Bull.
Mayonnaise! That would be great if you could edit it, where he's like, what's your name? And then it's the clip from Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Lord. Shut your hole!
Alright, let's hear a little bit more of Bull, because I just love that he screams constantly.
Toadie's more! Leroy knows that! Looks like your deal just got canceled. How about it, boys? Auction? I start the bidding at 5 lilies!
I like that the currency is lily pads.
Yeah, I like how he says 5 of them. Everyone's like, whoo! I got like a quarter of a lily.
Listen, that's too rich for my blood,
Holy
pal.
Holy shit, where'd you get all these lilies?
So, long story short, he doesn't like the barter and ends up getting her for 5 lilies, and Roddy tries to step up, but he catches a fucking punch to the solar plexus that sends him flying across the room.
Knocks him
and
out's
fucking cold. So, that pretty much ends that scene, and next we see the frog informant lady talking strategy.
Arabella. Most beautiful woman in this movie.
Arabella.
If I could see any pair of tits in this movie, it'd be Arabella.
And she's sitting there talking strategy with Sam Hell, and frantically this fucking frog lady is trying to fuck Sam Hell.
Oh yeah,
this
she
whole
throws
scene.
Herself at him.
Just.
But do you have the scene? Because he makes her.
He
makes her put a bag over her head.
Yes. Here, put this on real quick.
It's a little thing I'm into.
Even here, your name is Legend.
Oh, yeah. Sam Hell. Help me wander the wasteland. The fearless war hero.
Does that sound so bad?
It's real tiring. I don't want to talk about
don't want to talk about it.
I understand.
You do?
You can rest right here.
Brings her to her bosom.
I'll be different. Around here, men throw themselves at me. I can have my pick. We're all idiots. You are real men.
Oh, what are you doing?
Just promise me you won't be gentle.
That I can promise.
Oh, Sam, I knew it would be great.
Wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Do me a favor.
Anything, Sam.
He just has a bag in arm's reach.
So you're just a slave,
And we get right back to Bull.
You're just a slave.
Oh, God. So Bull brings her back to the harem, brings Spangle back to the harem. His dick is now starting to beep frantically as that Spangle is getting out of range. So he doesn't get to fuck the frog lady.
I've realized that after the greasy strangler, how much I really appreciate amazingly bad acting.
It's just,
when it's so over the top.
It's not greasy enough.
So, oh gosh, don't half-ass your acting when you can just fuck it as hard as you want, you know.
So he brings her forth to Toady. A man with a mask brings in a gun shipment. It's the same guy who was watching them fuck earlier, and also the same person who in the opening scene shot the regular guy and said, "Nope, hey, greeners aren't allowed to have guns."
But you know the law.
Let me give a little bit of acting advice in the Sam Raimi way, because I'm really into it. Is that I did a scene from Attack of the Killer Chickens, and it came time to do my close-up, and she's like, literally the director, after seeing what I had acted with the scene with the killer chicken, she's like, okay, that's a pretty good one, or maybe for the outtakes. And I made the mistake of telling her that when the line in the movie is like, what if it's all as if we're in a bad movie, that I had actually looked at the camera during that line.
you're the Deadpool of that movie.
Yes. Break that third wall. Break that fourth wall.
Oh, gosh.
So, as Sam is watching the gun shipment go down with his lady down there, he just accidentally falls down and completely fucking blows it all.
You missed the part how he lost Arabella. Because they started beeping. He said, I gotta go. They're walking together. She's helping him. She trips and falls into some wires. When the camera pans over, she is just entangled in wires and tells him, go on without me.
I'll never get out of these wires in time. Save the day.
One of these is my phone charger.
So Sam is watching from a balcony, watching Commander Toady and Bull and everybody and the gun shipment thing going down. And he just, for no reason at all, just loses his balance and falls, tumbles, and takes a fucking table spot from the balcony.
I think like the writer must have been like, how do I get from this scene to the next? Fuck it, he falls.
Yeah, that'll work.
I know you'd just not been knocked out, but he falls.
So next, we see Sprangle in bed, and she is in the harem, and this is the weirdest fucking scene I've ever. So all the girls are surrounding her on this giant circular bed. It's all the captured fertile women, and they're like fanning her with silks that are like
they're just flailing their arms around.
It's so fucking weird, and she's really into it too. She's like, oh, this is a sensation I've never felt before.
I'm here to rescue you. And they're like, how? And she's like, with a plan.
Which is probably my favorite scene from Solid Gold, when they're dancing to like Human League or something. So
Solid Gold!
Downstairs, Bull has Sam tied up for some good old-fashioned torture. And man, he's pretty fucking extreme. He goes right for the chainsaw off the bat. So he's coming over and getting closer with the chainsaw. And I saved this little bit of audio just because I love hearing him yell.
You got right before where he tells him it's not going to work?
I can make it before then. Let's see here. Here's...
Med Tech wouldn't be stupid enough to wire a potent veil.
It conks out. And then... Oh, no.
Shakes it.
Now what? What do you think? To get more gas!
Why is he so extreme all the time?
To get more gas.
I wonder if, like, if he tried acting it low, like, what do you think? I'm going to get more gas. And the director's like, I need you to scream everything.
Let me get more gas.
So, like, he's got it. He's got the fucking part. Hire him. So, back at the harem, she explains that they don't have time to one of the girls, and we need to get out of here. Like ASAP. So he begs, oh yeah, as the thing is fucking beeping now because he's too far away, he's begging Bull to fucking cut it off with him.
Cut it off!
So cut it off here! Cut it off! So Bull actually does use the chainsaw and he's able to fucking cut the thing off.
Mm-hmm.
And then just in time.
Well, when he's screaming at him, can you pull it up? No. Pull up when he's screaming, like, cut it off! Because Bull has a beautiful.
I gotta tell you, you are one weird dude.
That's it.
Because he's screaming for him to cut it off. He's like, I gotta tell you, you are one weird dude.
So, Arabella, right? Isn't that her
Arabella,
name?
Arabella, yes.
Arabella then comes and rescues Sam after Bull successfully cuts that thing off of his dick. So, just he gets through there, and then bam, and then fucking Arabella, boom, saves the day.
He cuts it through, he's holding it, and he's like, ha ha ha. And then he's like, it's a fake! And then it blows up in Bull's face.
And that, yeah, that helped.
Which sent shrapnel that has been all over Rowdy Piper's dick.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, like, there's a pipe bomb that just went off in that guy's hand. It's definitely shattered all over your pelvis as well. I mean, it was not far enough away. So, meanwhile, the Frog Lady, Arabella, and Looney are planning a way to rescue Sam. Bull gets to cut the thong off. Okay, I just went over this. Then it blows up in his face. Sprangle tries to convince the girls to leave, but is very easily apprehended. Arabella comes in.
Well, they tell her about... They're preparing her for the Dance of the Three Snakes.
Yes, the Dance of the Three Snakes.
And she's
snakes.
Like, what are these snakes?
Oh, I don't even know.
As soon as I heard that, I instantly had a memory that was like, that's what the three snakes are. And I was like,
oh yeah.
That is locked in there.
I remember. So, they get into a fist fight with Bull, easily trounces him.
Mm-hmm.
Dramatic music plays as now... he knows what he's got to do. Sam just knows. He's like, I know what I got to do to rescue the day from here. Okay? So, in front of Toadie, Spangle is then forced to do the Dance of the Three Snakes.
Wait, hold on. You missed another. You keep missing these cherry parts.
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
There was a cherry part in there where Arabella comes to free him. Now, Bull is knocked out from the explosion, mm-hmm. right? So she comes up to free Sam. And he was like, oh, I think I owe you one. And she goes, oh, and pulls out the fuck sack. And he's like, not now.
It's a fun one.
I was really excited to see that Randall Frakes wrote the story for this because I thought it was like maybe related to Jonathan Frakes.
Yes, Jonathan Frakes. This is my brother, Randall. He's like, hi, I'm Randall. I'm Randall Frakes.
I like frogs.
My brother Jonathan brought me a frog when I was 11 years old. I wrote this movie about it. My brother Jonathan won't be in my movies, though.
I have a dream. I love Daniel Stern. Got an idea for Daniel Stern vehicle.
Yeah, you have Sam Raimi, who does the Evil Dead, but he has his brother in lots of parts called Ted Raimi. But nobody's ever seen Ivan Raimi. So there's a third Raimi brother that is always working on The Evil Dead as well.
Yeah. So many Raimis, so little mm-hmm. time.
I almost didn't believe he was real. So.
It can't Raimi all the time.
Yeah. When it Raimis, it pours.
My favorite Nirvana song, Raimi.
My friends. So... Spangled is forced to do the Dance of the Three Snakes, where she's just improvising some dance moves, mm-hmm. and they are incredibly cringeworthy. I mean, like, the whole scene of her just like... I mean, it's on par with, like, Chris Elliott from Get a Life, like, dancing. It's very...
And by the way, you're supposed to be nude.
Supposed to be nude, but was it nude?
Not contractually, so.
Oh.
Didn't pay her enough.
Yeah, there's a lot of... You know what it reminded me of? Jamie Lee Curtis's dance from True Lies.
That's what it reminded you
yes.
of. Because it didn't remind me of that. It reminded,
except not as naked.
It reminded me of, like, Elaine from Seinfeld.
It wasn't Elaine band.
And the amazing thing, she danced naked a lot in All That Jazz.
Yeah.
And she is a real dancer, and she danced also in Xanadu.
Yeah, so. But you got to pay her that scratch if you want to see those sweet jambalayas. Mm-hmm.
And they blew their budget on Toadie's makeup.
Yeah, yes. So, but this dance is able to make Commander Toadie hot as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's like,
we learn what the three snakes are. The three snakes are... The three cocks that Toadie is hiding below.
Yeah, and they're all... You points down to his tunic above his lap, and it looks like there's a whack-a-mole game going on under it. Because it's just... You see three different spots of shit writhing around.
Oh, I got another one, Ma. You get...
Look at all these... tickets again.
If you do it, he just starts spitting tickets out of his mouth, and then you can buy exactly one fake mustache at the concession stand of Frog Town.
Or a Voltron ring.
Oh, a Voltron ring is a good one.
Good Deadpool reference.
So, Looney is now apparently the flare guy. Sentinel comes, he goes and signals Sentinella to come now, because uh-huh. it's like go time. So he shoots a flare out, and now Sentinella's on her way, because it's almost time to leave. She comes over, and this is Spangle.
Wait,
comes over.
Are we watching Ghostbusters?
Kicks him not once, not twice, but three times. Betwixt the.
She kicked each dick.
Each dick gets a kick. Just one, two, three, which has got to be completely. I mean, I know what one crotch. Imagine yeah, having what, three well, whole dicks
and he just stood there for all
kick.
Three. After the yeah. first one, he's like, whack. Wait a minute, whack. What? Something's going on here. Whack! Oh, my three dicks.
What if he had like six balls?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a lot of balls.
We don't get to see the anatomy of what's going on there. Only that there are three.
I mean, knowing reptiles intimately as yeah. I do.
Wait a second, amphibians.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oh well, then I'm out of my element.
I mean.
I'm just talking out of my ass at this point. Well, look,
I mean, if we just think about how the physically this would work, fucking a three-dicked man, a frog man. So one could go in the pink, one yeah. could go in the stink. What does the other one just slide in like the crevice the other, between your leg and the stink?
The other one just cheers the other two on.
Yeah, get in there,
fuck good,
fuck that good. Hey. Tag me in. It's like one dick gets raw. See, like he has a rotation.
No,
process.
He goes DV. He doubles up on the vag.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure that Tommy was going to go the way of nature and explain how
a hemi penis.
The first dick just kind of punches the two vulva apart. The second dick actually enters, and the third dick actually does the work of actually shooting the
load.
It's
like you read my mind, Jeremy. That's exactly what I was saying.
The middle dick's only job is to never actually touch a woman. It's just insulated by other dicks.
It's his dick.
It's his gay dick. He's like, it can only touch other dicks to get hard.
I'm sorry if I had to explain to the children that. Hopefully no children are listening to this. So.
Why would your kids listen?
To learn about three dicks. So,
oh man. So all of a sudden, Sam then bursts into the room, dual wielding fucking pump action shotguns, mm-hmm. like boom, busting off shots left and right.
Here's the big line of the movie.
They get ready to leave, but there is a lot of armed guards still.
You're not going
to
say the line that he comes in when he bursts in the door.
I don't even have it written down. What do you, should we go?
Come on, that's as big as his "They Miracle. Live" line.
Does he say, "I'm Sam Hell and I've come to Fall Town"? Or,
Eat lead froggies.
Eat lead froggies. Whoa, he's jumping!
Magic tiny legs, take me away!
Eat lead froggies? Yes. That's what you need? Yeah. Okay, I like it.
Just as good as I'm here to chew bubble gum. And
that wouldn't make a bad shirt. That wouldn't make a bad shirt. Him holding two pump action shotguns and the cats eat lead froggies. Is this coming soon to Teespring.
Is this the best we have in the script? Yeah, pretty much. We're going to go with it. So.
What if they're like, he was like, I feel like I should have a line here.
Yeah.
And they're like, just go from the hip, Roddy.
I think
we saw what you did in They Live. We trust your artistic genius.
I think they tried to make it more family friendly, and he's regally said, eat leg greeners. So, yeah.
So, he ends up clearing the room. Commander Toadie is hops away, so boring. He is now on the loose. They have to go then sneak past some guards, and Spangle goes ahead and plays the concert. Oh, I'm hurt. Oh, and she wanders over in front of the guards, and then all of a sudden busts out some serious fucking karate on these clowns.
She did the three snakes dick, just fucking kick the guy
boom
in the dick.
Again. Dick punch, fucking judo throw. We're past the guards. They grab a girl who says, it's a miracle. So Sentinella then goes outside. She beeps the horn. What a dick move. Like, they don't know that she's even there. They're like, lady with a machine gun here, ready to steal everybody. Hope you guys are ready.
I wonder if that's Citronella.
Yes. But Toadie has the drop on them, and all his men are waiting outside with fucking guns. Mm-hmm. But luckily, Looney uses his flare. His only fucking job is the flare guy and blasts them. And it kind of like also somehow makes a puff of smoke, blinds them, and they are able to get and load into the pink fucking Studebaker. Looney's injured, but fucking Sam Hell goes and fucking throws him up on his shoulders. He's like, come on, we're getting out of here now. Okay? So
no man left behind.
You're letting him get away. Do something about it now, yells Commander Toadie. And
that's a cool scene, too, because he's upside down. You're seeing it from the point of view of the guard that's knocked on his back.
Yeah.
I liked it.
So the frogs hop in their own vehicles to make chase, and their vehicle, they don't show it, but they're like, oh, this thing looks kind of badass. It pans out and has a giant gun on it. Looney ends up dying in the car, and he goes, don't take it hard. I live my nine lives,
the way he died, he's laying in the back, and one of the harem girls is holding his head and takes her hand away, and it's covered in blood. So just the back of his head, which has had brains leaking out of it this whole time.
So after he dies, they see that they are being pursued by Toadie's men, who basically have like a fucking Jeep with a howitzer
That's
cannon
a fucking
on it.
El Camino. They're
it's
in
badass.
A El Camino with a lift kit with a cannon in it.
It has just like through the passenger side seat, not mounted to the top, just a giant howitzer cannon that we're supposed to believe is a howitzer cannon, right? Like coming out of there. Citronella then returns machine gun fire at him as they evade explosion after explosion. She thinks that she can lose him in the box, but they are stopped by a mask by the masked man who they've seen throughout the whole movie. He goes, everybody out now, and reveals himself to be the fucking same dickhead from the very beginning. Fucking shit. Captain Devlin also is Count Sodom.
That's what he's credited as? Count Sodom. Said that name. The credits, I watched the credits to see some of the names they gave some of the people, and my favorite character, the guy with the motorcycle helmet and the beanie cap on it, is, I believe is called Lil Mutant.
He's actually a SoundCloud rapper now.
Was he a midget?
I don't know. Oh. He never stood up. He just cranked on the thing.
So
he's just making them sick beats, yo.
I don't know if I should bring this up, but his whole purpose of doing this is that he just hates women. He's just like, I'm selling it to the frogs because women have too much power in the future.
Yeah, he was selling, he was trading the guns for uranium, and he was giving the uranium to quote-unquote scientists.
Yes.
To make him...
Frog scientists.
He'll have the only nuclear weapons in the waste, and somehow that will make men in charge.
Yeah. Yes, he's like, you blow up everything, men win. Duh. Yeah, duh. I'm not an idiot. That's how we got into this mess.
It's for your health.
So, Who? And he goes, starting with her, and points down at Spangle, and then, but she draws and throws a fucking katana blade through him, which is pretty badass. Like, just all of a sudden, first of all, katana blade has never been seen in the movie up until now. Yeah, well, it's just available for this scene only.
When they were being chased, I noticed the handle of a katana behind Sam. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was now wearing this katana.
Because
as he has to drop one, they all have their hands up in the air, and while he's giving his big, this is my plan speech, mm-hmm. Sam is like whispering to one of the harem girls, like, the katana. The katana. Put it in my ear.
You put it in my backhand, I'll be able to throw it through him. You know, I did it to Hollywood Hulk Hogan once.
I'm pretty sure this will work.
So, but this motherfucker is such a beast that he catches it like in the side of his belly. He's like, whoop, I'll just take this out and run off. Mm-hmm. And he unsticks himself and then just like, well, I'm out of here. So
this isn't a throwing weapon.
Sam goes after him and he finds that the guy's collapsed on the ground. He holsters his sidearm and then starts going over there.
We checks to see if he's dead. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes to check him. He holsters his sidearm. Sam does. Him. And then the guy gets up as Sam is walking away and takes aim at him with a fucking RPG.
Yeah, like a real noob.
Sam senses this trick.
Well, his boot scuffs.
Yeah.
As he's aiming, his boot goes...
Yeah. And he turns around and he fucking is able to shoot him first. And, you know, now he has an RPG, which is pretty nice. Yeah. Right? So he returns to the car to see that it's been blown to smithereens mm-hmm. by Commander Toadie.
No bodies, by the way.
But no bodies. But he assumes the worst immediately. Just
There's a scarf on the ground. This is all that's left of him.
Way to go. My 8-pack of fucking hot veg is completely ruined. I somehow became Peter Griffin for that one. Oh, darn.
Oh, no, these chicks is dead.
So now, if you want to live, run, is I believe what he says to what he says to Commander Toadie.
Yeah, because they pull up. He has the drop on them with the RPG.
Yeah, but he goes, not you, Toadie. We're going down together. Mm-hmm. So he pulls the trigger on the RPG and it jams, which makes you think maybe he didn't beat him to the gun. Maybe the RPG just didn't fucking fire.
It could just been for looks.
Just fucking, this is my show RPG, actually. This is for my Rambo cosplay, you idiot. So he jumps out and they start fighting and
hammer tech.
He gets fucking whooped up pretty bad right from the get go. It's bleeding very quickly. Is Sam Hell? I think they're fighting on the same place where you see
where Kirk fought.
Yeah, where Zorn, he fights the Gorn. Yeah, it's the same rock structure. Also in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, mm-hmm. It's the place where the evil Bill and Ted, robot Bill and Ted, throws them off of. Same place. So
nice.
Jeremy, is there any other references you wanted to make to that rock structure? Because I feel like...
No, you covered it both.
Okay, good.
There was probably another movie, but I can't remember.
Jeremy always loves to point out that rock structure. Oh, it's where he fought the Gorn. Anytime he sees that, he points it out.
I met Clark, Gorn.
Was it the mm-hmm. actual Gorn rock structure there? Because, I mean, that immediately, when I saw it, I was like, that's where Kirk fought the Gorn.
Yeah, it's the same, right. Same thing. Outside nice.
I still got it, guys.
Cali or fucking Utah somewhere.
Oh, wait a second. The Michael Jackson video of Black and White is also filmed at that place.
So. Oh. Yes. Well, I know Michael Jackson was like, have you guys ever seen Hell Comes a Frog Tag?
When I was watching it, I wrote this song. It's called Black or White. Because I didn't like how they treated the frog people in it.
It was originally called Green and Green.
I'll rape you no matter whether you're black or white.
I originally called it Shut Your Hole. Shut Your Hole.
So, Sam eventually resorts to Three Stooges tactics and uses the old fucking poke you in the eyeballs, like this. Fucking two fingers to the eyes, and then ends up kicking Toadie off the side of a cliff by chopping his hand off with the fucking katana sword.
Yeah, the whole time he's trying to, the katana's just out of his reach.
Yeah.
He's able to get it.
So the day is saved. He heads down the mountain to find that all the girls are perfectly fine. He was just like, oh, ladies. And he's like, yeah, we just ran away very easily around the corner.
Not only did he find the women, but Spangle had time to change her outfit.
Yes, she's now in a much sexier outfit, right? And then he goes, they start arguing and have a little lover's argument real quick. And then she decides to go shock him and then touches the button and realizes he's like, oh, you've been off your leash this whole time? He was just like, oh, you know, darn it. He has no good line. But she's just overwhelmed and just fucking wet as shit when she sees that he's there of his own free will.
Yeah. He's like, contract's not valid.
So it then ends as the ladies pile into a car. He also gives, we kind of glanced over this earlier, but there's a small scene where he shows this little locket that he's wearing mm-hmm. that was his daughter's. And he ends up giving it to Sentinella after this. And he's like, you know, something to keep you busy when on you're those lonely.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so wait a minute, you almost... This girl that you're treating like your dead daughter, you were willing to fuck this lady like less than an hour ago. I was you
my
were gonna,
takeaway
oh,
from it.
All right,
he was like they. I guess they did it to try to humanize him, like give him a bit more depth. But it's like, she's like, what's that? And he was like, it was my daughter's. And he was like, haven't you been fucking your way? You have hundreds of daughters at this point.
Yeah, but this one I knew.
This is the one I cared about. It went to her 8th birthday party before I never saw her again.
Yeah, and this is all I could find. That's why I assumed you were all dead when I found a scarf.
So we then see this scene of Spangle talking to Sam Hell as we close out the film.
Medtech owes you a lot. Maybe after you complete your duties, I can get us a couple of weeks' leave.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Wait a minute.
What do you mean when I'm finished my duties?
And then look back at the harem of women.
Ugh. Oh, I guess what they say is true.
What's that?
A soldier's work is never done.
Is that what they say? Is that a thing that they say?
Sam's
going
to have
work?
To fuck his way out of that sticky situation. I like when he looks back, sees 5 women that they told me has to fuck, and he's like, oh, man.
Oh, darn.
Life, oh, God.
Life is hard in the apocalypse.
Kill me now.
Let me tell you something now. You don't know what it's like to be used this as a human cum sprite.
They're not even smelly hobo women.
I'd like to think that this is like the top 5 Mormon comedies of all time. So
this is what Mormons believe to be true.
Can I close out the movie?
I don't know. Can you close out the movie?
Yeah. Boom.
What do you need to close out the movie? Go for it, buddy.
I mean, give me music.
You need the fucking book. I got it.
Oh, here we go. All
right.
And so they drove away. Sam Hell had the juice, the precious juice inside his balls, ready to impregnate all those fertile women. Now he lives but just a memory of Sam Hell, who overcame all of the frogmen. The greeners, the bloody greeners, who all deserve to die, the mutants.
What happened to the young child that I bore? Well, she went up to be the great warrior tribe of the frog people.
Eventually, he became the leader of the northern tribes. And then, who was going to take over? Andre the Giant.
That was solid.
That's
that was
all
solid.
I got. That's
that
all
solid.
I got. Sorry.
I liked it.
That's
I
all
it.
The that wrestlers I know.
Hell yeah, man.
So
that's it. Hell Comes to Frogtown, guys. Woo! We did it. Another wonderful quality time down. Thomas, would you like to plug anything? Do you have anything? Obviously,
when's this
we'd like
out?
To
this
talk.
Week?
It comes out tomorrow. We're going to be up tomorrow.
This Saturday, I'm at the designated comedy room in Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Doing a show there.
That's a whole nother goddamn state.
Yeah, I'm pretty much, I believe that's what they call international comedy. Mm-hmm.
Bet you there are a bunch of Amish up there.
But you can also check out, go to laughfinderpod.com and hear the Laugh Finder podcast. We get over 20,000 downloads a week, where it's me and five other of my geek comedy buds, and we play role-playing games, and we have guests on. It's a good time.
Yeah, it's good. We're official sponsor of the of the podcast. By the way, I loved, I don't think I mentioned this to you, but I loved the parody song that Ben did for us. Ben, it was so good.
Ben
it was
loves
so
you good.
Is,
so
is Jeff on the show as well? Jeff Hancock?
Ben Hancock.
Jeff Hancock is a murder mystery fan and photographer. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So is he a brother? No.
No,
they're
he's
not
a white
related
guy.
At all. Oh, okay. Other than just being in the white brotherhood. Am I right?
Sorry about that.
Just kidding. We like black people at all races. So anyway, it's really good. I thought
I love the blacks.
Jeremy wasn't going to be able to stop himself. I knew it. So check out Tommy, all things that, and Laugh Fighter is they do great stuff over there. And I'm a 2-time guest there, so listen to my episodes if you do nothing else at all.
Yeah. I'll support that.
And we've had Jim on the show here before. Mm-hmm. We probably will have Brian. I'm sure sometime in the future.
Yeah, you gotta have Dorian too. Dorian would be great.
I'd love to have Dorian.
Ben
over there.
Would love to be a guest, by the way.
Oh, I'd love to have Ben too. Yeah, we'd love to have all of them.
I prefer Violet.
I don't know if you'll be able to get Aaron.
Aaron Hankin. Yeah, I feel like he's gonna be a tough get. I don't have a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Everybody else on the show, I got a pretty good rapport with.
Week we're recording. It's not gonna air this week. It'll air in 2 weeks. Aaron is going to be out of town. He surprised us with a family vacation. So we had a week to scramble to try to figure what we were gonna do to record. And Eric, I told Eric about it, and Eric, you had the brilliant idea of just taking clips of Aaron and making an Aaron Hankin soundboard and just playing as if Aaron were there while Ben operates the Aaron Hankin soundboard.
Yeah, just does the best that he can.
And I jokingly pitched that to the group, and they fucking loved it.
Yes!
Aaron actually was like, I went to the studio and recorded clips for Ben to use.
See, but I'm sure it helps Ben out tremendously to have that, but I'm hoping Ben goes and cuts into some deep episodes, like get some real like.
Well, Ben said that all the stuff that Aaron uploaded, there's some gems. He was like, there's some fucking gold in here. I'm not gonna spoil it.
I want to give a big shout out to Matt Cannon for thanking him for liking the music, the white music. So
yeah, Matt Cannon, big fan of the show. Listen, we're not sucking all of our fans' dicks in one fucking
I'm sucking his dick.
Matt always sends me messages. He sends me Facebook like memes.
Yeah,
in my
I get
email
them too. They're
but,
great.
Matt, if you're listening, I don't know if you know, there's no way that I can share. You can't share from Messenger to your feed.
Yeah, I don't know
so
how to
these
do
are,
it at all.
Maybe he just wants it to be a little personal thing he shares.
It's just,
me.
We just have a good rapport.
That's fine.
It's just a little laughs with us.
I love it. It's good stuff.
Good stuff with Matt Cannon there, but he does send some pretty diesel videos.
I just like any fan that gives me some feedback that keeps me from killing myself for like another month.
Aww,
so.
I like your music, Jeremy. I think that Jeremy, your music is the best part of this podcast.
I love my music too. If I'm only not incompetent to actually have it work tonight.
So Jeremy,
so.
I can't believe you've been recording it to a Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom. Yeah. Zoom.
Well, it's a Zoom.
Zoom?
It's a Zoom.
Oh, a Zoom. Like a Zoom H4N or something?
No, it's like it's like 1995 technology.
Oh, okay. When you kept saying Zoom, I thought you meant Creative Labs Zoom.
No.
You actually had a... Okay.
No.
Next week, guys, just a quick reminder, it's going to be Kimberly Ambrose's last episode for a while as she goes on maternity leave from the podcast. But we're leaving on a heavy hitter episode with her. Next week is The Terminator. So if you guys want to be fresh and up to date with The Terminator, be ready. Kim has said that the next episode is going to be called Terminator, A Love Story. So get ready. Hold on to your dicks. And
you guys should store up a bunch of abortion jokes for The Terminator.
Oh, there's no need to store up. They're always good.
I prefer to call the movie the Time Abortinator.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. So you can go catch Kimberly Ambrose at Panic at the Deli on Instagram. Watch me doing this on Twitter. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month. You can check out her and my good friend Mike Quinlan there. Jeremy is going to be in a movie soon. You can check that out. It's coming up right around the corner. Make sure you check out Tommy Simbazo and the Laugh Finder podcast. All things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. You can check out those hot murder mystery dates. Get on a show. I got some more shows coming up in August and shit like that. All of that and more. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. Jeremy, take us out.
demon dogs.